Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Good morning to you. It's Wednesday, January 8th. I don't know how we got here. It's January 8th. First full week of January, which launches us right into one of the best stretches of the year in football. College football playoffs, national college football playoffs are Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, you've got Saturday, Sunday, and Magic Monday with the final playoff game of the NFL. So five consecutive nights of NFL and college football playoff action. And I can only imagine it's going to be pretty dramatic. By the time we get through next Monday night, I think I'll be exhausted. Any true NFL fan should be exhausted. We are awaiting a conversation with Charles Davis, who is the terrific commentator, not just for the NFL and CBS and some college football in the past, but did you know he's also the analyst on Madden? I didn't know that until recently because I'm not a big video game person, but I maybe will throw in a question about that as well, depending upon how long we have with him. So he's an early riser. We'll connect with him momentarily. He is calling the Chargers and the Texans, which happens on Saturday. You maybe by now have seen, in fact, it's tweeted, retweeted from our show account at Amy After Hours, the post that Adam Spillane put out there a couple of days ago in which he was listing the day and start time for every Texans playoff game going back to 2011. And in every case, it was Saturday at 3:30 Central Time, which is 4:30 Eastern Time. So yeah, that's pretty crazy, right? I guess people are making a joke of it. It's like death and taxes. The Texans playing on wild card weekend at 3:30 local time. But here's the deal. If you don't want to play at 3:30 local time, then get the bye. And you don't have to worry about playing that first weekend. Oh, how about that? It's a revelation. 855-212-4227. Online at A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. Again, we'll talk to Charles Davis here in a bit. We now know that the Chicago Bears do not have permission to speak with Mike McCarthy. They've got a whole litany, a host of other candidates that they will be speaking to. And Ryan Poles giving us the rundown, what they're looking for in their next head coach.
We're looking for a clear vision, a developmental mindset, really good game management. And obviously a plan to develop a quarterback is going to be a key part of that as well. We're going to cast a wide net. It's going to be a diverse group. There's going to be different backgrounds from offense, defense, special teams, college, pro. We are turning every stone to make sure that we're doing this the right way. We believe that's going to be really, really important. There's going to be some names that you don't expect that are going to surprise you because we're digging deeper than we ever have before. Hmm. In terms of timing, we're going to move with urgency, but we are not going to rush the process, again, because we want it to be a sound process.
I think what they're looking for is a coach with experience. To me, all of the stuff that you list at the beginning there, especially the ability to game manage, that takes some practice, it takes experience in most cases, and also wanting the right coach to work with. Caleb Williams, to me, and I don't think the Bears are that far away. Their offensive line is far away. But the rest of the Bears are pretty close. And then think about the NFC North. If you look at the other coaches in the NFC North, we know Kevin O'Connell may end up as the coach of the year, may or may not. Dan Campbell's not been on the job that long. He's an NFL veteran himself. And for Matt LaFleur, he's came from the staff of Kyle Shanahan. Was it Shanahan or McVay? Which one was he? Oh, he was McVay, right? He was off of the Sean McVay staff or the Sean McVay coaching tree. Yes. Those guys have been there established now for a bit. Campbell being the one with the least amount of experience. If you want to hit the ground running and not fall further behind in the NFC North, then I believe a coach with head coaching experience, not just calling the plays, but also managing the close and late situations, the timeout situations, the clock at the end of games. These are going to be challenging games moving forward because each of these teams, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions, are in a great window right now, and this is the toughest division that we've seen. So I think if you don't want to get left behind, you better find somebody who can hit the ground running and commands respect and credibility right when he steps into the facilities. So to me, you're looking for someone who's got some experience. We know there's a lot of names out there. Ben Johnson, of course, Brian Flores, who's with the Vikings in a defensive coordinator capacity. We're also hearing about guys like Joe Brady, Buffalo Bills OC, and then Mike Vrabel. But Mike Vrabel is supposed to interview with the Patriots on Thursday, and there is some talk that that could be the end. Patriots, according to reports, have already fulfilled the Rooney Rule requirements, meaning they've already interviewed a couple of minority candidates. So if they wanted to, if they believe that they had the right guy, or if they believe they got the green light from Green Vrabel. He's Green Vrabel. If they believe that the green light was there with Mike Vrabel, who is a Super Bowl champion with the Pats and beloved there by Bob Kraft and others, if the agreement or the idea for Vrabel to return to New England was mutually acceptable, then I can imagine they might move quickly, even before the weekend is what some people are talking about. But I also thought it was really thought-provoking to hear what Logan Ryan, former Patriots Super Bowl champion safety, had to say about this move the Pats made to get rid of Jerod Mayo after 1 year.
I honestly don't get it. You know, I was a New England Patriot for many years. I was teammates with Jerod Mayo. I knew that he would be a head coach one day just based on the personality type. And, you know, they had a bad year, yes, but they had a bad roster. So I don't think they're anticipating a bad year. Yes, they put Drake May in maybe a little too late, and he was better than people thought right away. But it was probably all in agreement when they made a decision when to play him. Yes, he fumbled in the media a couple times, but that's rookie head coach mistakes. Like, I don't understand why give a job to a guy that he really can't win in and then fire him. The only thing I can wrap my head around, because I know Bob Kraft's a smart guy, and this seems very unlike Robert Kraft, in my opinion. Very unlike him for the man that I know. Seems a little rash and harsh and quick. And I don't think he operates like that. It has to be from Mike Vrabel. If it's not from Mike Vrabel, then I do not understand at all. It has to be that they know that they want Mike Vrabel, and this is their one opportunity to get Mike Vrabel, because if they don't get him now, he's not going to be available in a year. So if it's not Mike Vrabel, then not what I even not understand, but it's really unfair and unjust what they did to Jerod Mayo.
Logan Ryan on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and he spent the early part of his career with the Patriots. So he was actually a cornerback with the Pats, but then made his way through Tennessee and New York and some other teams to wrap up his career. And I always enjoy hearing what he has to say. But I think in this situation, because he played with Jerod and because he knows the Pats so well, that Patriot way, he's got insight that is worth considering. And if that's his reaction, I can imagine it's the reaction of a lot of other people around the Patriots, those who played, maybe those who are still playing. Why make this move? Not because you think Jerod Mayo did such a bang-up job, but because you got to get the experience somehow. Sure, he was rough around the edges in his first year, but the team was rough around the edges in his first year, and you can't blame him for all of the losses. I think it really could be just about Mike Vrabel and recognizing that if Bob Kraft is going to be able to hire a coach with experience who also was part of the Patriot way, there are only so many combos out there, right, that you can bring in. And Vrabel is available once again after sitting out this last coaching cycle or this last season because he didn't get hired. It's funny because we were talking about this. Well, the question, why not hire him last year then? But at least Bob Kraft stuck to what he had in his contract with Mayo, which was that when Bill Belichick was gone, Mayo would end up as the successor, the heir apparent, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Antonio Pierce, the latest to get canned by an NFL team. Not a surprise. I was only waiting on the timing. Maybe another guy who was put into a position where he just wasn't ready, though he was the interim last year. The team played hard for him, and I think there's something to be said for the fact that he was also a player with great credentials. But there is a steep learning curve when you've not done it before. And he had the team playing hard, but also never had a quarterback. Had some good pieces on both sides of the ball, but never had a quarterback who could get it all together and put them all in kind of forward motion, if you will, to be able to succeed. And so it's not always the coach's fault. Sometimes it's about the roster too. But if you're Mark Davis and you now have Tom Brady on board and Tom Brady is going to take part in this process of interviewing, identifying, hiring the next head coach who can make you a winner, I understand why you're looking for something different, right? Tom Brady wasn't part of the equation when Antonio Pierce was given the full-time gig, when the interim was removed. Now Brady is part of it, and he knows. He knows what it means to be a winner, and to not just be a winner one time, but to be a perennial winner. And so for that reason, the more involved Brady gets, I think the more changes you're going to see. But still, the Raiders aren't getting anywhere until they have a quarterback. The whole idea of Aaron Rodgers out there makes me want to poke a fork in my eye. Just no, that's not going to help. It's not. And the crazy part is, if not for Josh McDaniels, you had Derek Carr. Derek Carr was playing extremely well when Josh McDaniels benched him. One of the years that McDaniels was there. I have to go back and look at the numbers, but the way that Derek Carr was kind of unceremoniously dumped as the longest tenured Raider, that sucked. And since then, it's almost, I don't believe in karma, but if I did, this would be a perfect example of it. The Raiders did not give Derek Carr the respect that he deserved with the organization for all those years. And by treating him as poorly as they did, by actually banishing him from the facilities and taking his job away and giving us some stupid line about how he'd agreed to leave so he wouldn't be a distraction. Are you kidding me? You have to not know anything about Derek Carr to believe that. For that reason, yes, the Raiders have been stuck in quarterback purgatory. So we'll see if there are any other moves. Mostly we've gotten validation from teams. For instance, the Giants are standing pat. The Dolphins are standing pat. They've got bigger fish to fry right now with Tyreek Hill. I still think Mike McCarthy's going to stay. I could be wrong, but I still believe that that's the way it's going, and not just because the Cowboys denied him permission or denied the Bears permission to speak with him. I just think it's been going this way for weeks now. The validation that he's getting from inside his own locker room. Where else are you going to find a Super Bowl championship coach? And I know that doesn't necessarily mean anything to the fans, but I do think it means something inside the locker room. And remember, just a year ago, they didn't win in the playoffs, but they were a division champion and had double figure victories, and they've made the playoffs. They just haven't been able to advance. So it's not just about firing McCarthy. If that's what Jerry Jones would decide to do, it's also about who do you replace him with. Bill Belichick's not available anymore. By the way, he has a Twitter account now. Did you see that? No, no joke. I found it yesterday. I have to tell you what his bio says. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Coach Bill Belichick. Why didn't we get this when he was with the Patriots? I like this loosey goosey version of Bill Belichick. His handle is at UNC Chapel Bill. Uh-huh. It's a thing. Chapel Bill. Here's his bio. Head football coach, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm telling you, he is proud of this and he's excited. And I just don't buy it anymore that this is because he couldn't get a job in the NFL. While I do think he would like to come back to the NFL at some point, I can imagine that wins record means something to him. The guy is a hoot. This media year of media has turned him into a completely different person publicly. Behind the scenes, I'm sure he's great. Obviously, his 25-year-old girlfriend finds him highly entertaining. But for Coach Bill Belichick to now post things like, who said recruiting wasn't going to be fun? And it's a photo of the barbecue center pit cooked curb service in North Carolina. I mean, he's funny. He's got videos of his new home there at Chapel Hill. He's got old photos.
I'm surprised he's still doing the media stuff as a coach. Like he's still doing the show on Sirius. He's still doing the McAfee spot. I'm surprised. I'm surprised he's still doing it as a coach.
So I do believe it's him. I don't know. Maybe it's a fake account and it just hasn't been discovered yet. But I don't know. It seems legit to me.
Could be somebody writing for him too.
That's true. It could be. Could be a ghostwriter, you mean?
Yep.
All right. Here's one of his earliest posts. Go Heels. Then, this is December 13th. Busy week. Had breakfast with lawyer. Took new job. Called moving company. Conference with the press. Met athletes. Watched film with Mike. Meaning, I'm assuming, Mike Lombardi. Called realtor. Toured and bought house. Got new sweatshirts. I mean, that could be someone else. But it also could be Belichick. That's his humor.
Yeah, dry. Yeah.
It is. Oh. Seriously, I think it's him. He's got jokes about the transfer portal. So it might not be. He's not validated, if you will. But he's got a lot of followers, including people that you would expect would know if it was him or not him. So anyway, I stumbled on it yesterday. Maybe it's like the fake Andrew Luck account. Shoot, what's the name of it? Captain Andrew Luck. Yeah, that, I mean, for years, I swear that was Andrew Luck. And it was his burner account. Yes, Captain Andrew Luck. Hysterical.
Hat, right, yeah.
Yeah, the squirrel oil and the dearest mother and the battleground calling for his glorious return. This is the one when he took the job at Stanford as GM. The battleground has called for my glorious return. I'm thrilled to say I shall heed that call, dearest mother. I have re-enlisted. While my sidearm is permanently holstered, I shall help train other young men to be great soldiers. Please send care packages of squirrel oil and skunk cakes to our base camp at Stanford. I love you, Andrew. He was quiet for so long, and then you got to imagine the day that Andrew Luck took the job at Stanford and made the announcement was the best day of this guy's life.
It was his rebirth.
Or maybe it's a gal. I don't know why we should assume it's a guy.
It's a rebirth.
Or maybe it's Andrew Luck, and this is the way he expresses himself when he can't do it behind a microphone at Stanford.
That would be something that was a...
Could you imagine?
Complete ruse.
All right, coming up, we've got... the reaction from the Dolphins to Tyreek Hill, and we're waiting for Charles Davis. So sometimes things don't go the way they're planned in live radio. People ask me sometimes, is your show live or taped? Right. It's taped. That's why we have callers on the air and we leave callers on the air who ask inappropriate questions because it was taped. And we thought, well, let's just leave that in there. Now we're waiting on Charles Davis. We hope to connect with him soon. Otherwise, there's plenty to keep us busy. Good morning to you. It's our hump show. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Big brouhaha, because Tyreek Hill loves to stir the pot. When he talked after the Dolphins' season-ending loss to the Jets, that was really... our swan song for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe. Just maybe. I don't know that for sure. But the fact that he was so disgruntled, he left the field. Right. So according to Mike McDaniel, and I'm not sure McDaniel knew exactly what was going on at the time, but according to Mike McDaniel, it wasn't an injury issue, but Tyreek was not available at the end of the game. You remember, this just happened with a Niners player midseason, or I guess just past the midway point. And the Niners were so angry to a man. I've never heard or seen so many teammates who are willing to call out someone on their own roster in their own locker room. But he quit on them. And that was the cardinal sin. Not give me the damn ball. Not being upset because he's not getting enough touches. Not yelling at a teammate on the sidelines. No, the cardinal sin is quitting on your guys when they're out there giving it everything they've got. Well, Tyreek Hill was not available for a couple of series there in the second half. And, I mean, the game wasn't over. The season was over, but the game wasn't over. And in addition to that, I'm trying to think what else. He was talking to reporters afterward. They were kind of pressing him about, oh, that's what it was. He got no targets in the second half either. And I know Tua was hurt, banged up, and so different quarterback situation. But Tyreek, it sounded like he was closing the door on Miami.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here or if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
It was great playing here, but I'm out, bro. And then walks away. So that was Sunday. According to both the GM and head coach of the Dolphins, Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, yes, they do still have their jobs, whether or not Dolphins fans like it. They have had conversations with Tyreek in the wake of that video that went viral.
I will say Mike and I both had conversations with Tyreek here over the yesterday, productive conversations. I will keep those between us. The one thing I would say is in a frustrating season, he was very emotional. And I think all of that with him playing through his injury just kind of bubbled to a point. And from our conversations, again, we'll keep that private, but we had productive conversations.
Did Mike backtrack?
No, I would say, but he never asked for a trade with me.
The relationship, you know, we met for, I want to say, an hour yesterday. You know, I think there's the competitive spirit of his, you know, can represent, you know, post game, especially in a season or a game that nobody likes. It could allude to a relationship being one way. I think I was very direct with him. He was very honest, and it was great terms that we were discussing, you know, discussed multiple things, including, you know, without wavering that it's not acceptable to leave a game and won't be tolerated in the future. And he embraced accountability, and it was I wouldn't say there's anything necessarily to fix as much as we had to clear the air in a rough and tumultuous situation.
I appreciate the grace that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are offering Tyreek. The fact that they admit it was extremely emotional. This season was frustrating. Mike McDaniel uses the word tumultuous situation. That's strong language. So I do think end of the year, not making the playoffs, nothing really going the way that the Dolphins drew it up this season or had planned. It was frustrating for all of them. So we'll see what happens now. Greer did respond to the question by saying that Tyreek didn't ask for a trade. Didn't backtrack necessarily, but didn't ask for a trade either. At least not him personally. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's a lot that will happen, kind of intertwined. It's way better easy to say. So you've got the business and the teams that are already moving on to coaching searches and player decisions and personnel moves, not to mention cap space and all that jazz. So this is now going on behind the scenes. And it's such a stark contrast with the teams that are now getting ready for playoffs. Now, of course, coming up this weekend, we'll have, what, six teams that will join them. So we'll get from 14 teams down to 8 to go into divisional round. And so pretty soon it'll be the same job for the teams that are eliminated as well. A lot of people think early on that could be the Steelers, that they're not going to survive this first round on the road at the Ravens. I've been watching for the last couple hours. It's into the fourth quarter now. The week 11 battle in Pittsburgh between Ravens and Steelers. And that was part of the Ravens ascending to the top, part of the Steelers ascending to the top of the AFC North. Of course, the Ravens end up winning that title. And the most recent game that they had, just a completely different scenario. So I don't know I don't know how these games are going to go. I think when you have division rivalries, you'll throw all of that out the window. But I do know that right now the Ravens' offense is cooking, and they've got a great identity and a good formula, and they know how to use it, and they're in a groove. And there's a lot of familiarity between the defense as well to face the Steelers. There'll be a lot of discontent and frustration and upset if the Steelers bow out like this after losing, what is that, 4 in a row now? Finishing essentially in December, not winning games, or I guess in the last month of the season, not winning games. And Mike Tomlin recognizes that. I mean, more than anyone, he knows the pressures and knows the expectations in Pittsburgh.
Some of it's had to do with some of the people that we played have done a nice job. Some of it has to do with us. Rest assured that we're working extremely hard to rectify it. And I'm excited about taking another whack at it this week. We've been in too many battles, and we've had too much success to be fragile in that way. We certainly can hate our recent performances and the outcome of those recent performances, but I don't think it's reflected in terms of how we feel about ourselves or our ability to make plays or engineer victory or win games.
I hope they, it's not that I want the Ravens to lose, because I don't. I don't root for teams when we get to this point. But I just cringe to think about what will happen and the firestorm in Pittsburgh if this is how they bow out. Because you hear it all the time now from Steelers fans about how long it's been since they won a playoff game, how long since they won a Super Bowl, how long since they did more than just put together a winning season. Right now, here's something else that I think is interesting, and it happens in a Mike Tomlin way, right? What about maybe using either multiple quarterbacks or going back to Justin Fields in this game?
Certainly, in an effort to win this game, I am open to any combination or combinations of the division of labor in an effort to do so. And so I'm certainly open to that as we develop plans this week.
Okay, I really just love the way that he puts that, a division of labor.
Or combinations of the division of labor in an effort to do so.
Oh my gosh. He's got a way with words. That is the case. And so I'm a huge fan of Mike Tomlin, but I certainly understand why fans would be frustrated. There are a lot of different reasons why they have kind of fallen off the map here. Big picture, though, it will ultimately fall on Tomlin. And their offense was in such a good place, too, right? Their offense really surged after Russell Wilson took over, and it was the decision, we know this solely of Mike Tomlin, to make that move. So what happened, right? The formula, I don't want to say completely, like the bubble burst, but they've not been able to effectively pass the ball. Right, their points are down. They still have a really good defense, top 10 actually in scoring defense. But the offense hasn't been able to do its job. And a lot of it, some of it is pretty glaring in that Russell Wilson and George Pickens aren't always on the same page. That's your number one receiver, so that poses a major issue. It kind of made me think a little bit about Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and how the two of them, you got a veteran quarterback who's going into a new team, right? A hot, young, very talented receiver, and they just can't quite get on the same page. That's the scoring numbers have definitely been down, which is frustrating, right? A fourth consecutive loss for them. And then you look at the points that they've scored in the losses versus what they were doing before. I know Bengals and Browns, not the same caliber, although Bengals played pretty well at the end of the season, but they scored 44 points against the Bengals with about 6 weeks to go. The Browns, they put up 27. After that, and these are better defenses, right? Better teams, except the Bengals. But the Eagles, they only put up 13 against that Philly defense on the road. Against the Ravens, just 17. Against the Chiefs, that was a game in which the Chiefs were, they were the one seed. But the Steelers were trying to clinch the AFC North. They end up losing, right, and only score 10 points. And then the Bengals against the Bengals, just 17 points. So the numbers, the offensive production is down. And I'm sure it's frustrating, too, because it looked like for a while there they had found the right formula and Russ was playing some great football. And even with the run production they've gotten, which has still been pretty steady, the connection is just not there in terms of the passing numbers, the passing attack and stuff. And you got to have that balance for sure. Although, again, in a division matchup, anything can and generally will happen. That's the game on Amazon Prime, by the way, coming up on Saturday night. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Man, it's such a weird juxtaposition. Teams working on their next coaches and who are they going to draft with. If they need quarterbacks, where are they going to find them? And then the other teams that are nose to the grindstone heading toward playoff action and the whole thrill of victory, agony of defeat. You've got to perform or that's it. It's done so quickly. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, I'm still in the clear if Mike McCarthy's going to remain with the Cowboys, but apparently Jerry Jones, no interest in letting McCarthy go to the Bears. Dallas reportedly denying permission from Chicago to speak with McCarthy about their vacant job. However, the Cowboys need to move quickly if they want to keep him. Becomes a coaching free agent in about a week. Raiders in search of a new head coach. They fired Antonio Pierce after just one full season. Vegas won four games as new minority owner Tom Brady said to be involved in trying to find his replacement. Titans say goodbye to GM Rand Carthon, however, holding on to head coach Brian Callahan. Tennessee, of course, holding the top overall pick in the coming draft. Tyreek Hill turned plenty of heads when he said he wanted out of Miami following the season finale loss to the Jets. But head coach Mike McDaniel seemed to chalk it up to just being emotional after a rough year.
The competitive spirit of his, can represent, post-game, especially in a season or a game that nobody likes. It could allude to a relationship being one way. I think I was very direct with him. He was very honest.
Ravens getting set for the Steelers. Lamar Jackson looking to get that elusive Lombardi trophy to put on his resume with his two MVPs. Jackson admits he needs to take things slower in the playoffs.
I'd just be too excited. That's all, too antsy. Like, I'm seeing things before it happened. Like, oh, I got to calm myself down. But just being more experienced, I found a way to balance it out.
NBA Celtics too much for the Nuggets. 118-106. Jason Tatum 29 as Denver didn't have Nikola Jokic. T-Wolves bounced the Pelicans 104-97. Anthony Edwards 32. Mavericks route the Lakers 118-97. Heat dominate the Warriors 114-98. Hawks outscored the Jazz 124-121. Trae Young, a heave at half court at the buzzer to win it, part of a 24-point, 20-assist night. Hornets erased the Suns 115-104. LaMelo Ball, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. And the Rockets overpower the Wizards 135-112. College Hoops, top-ranked Tennessee, their first loss of the season as they were pounded by Florida 73-43. Auburn handled Texas 87-82. Iowa State all over Utah 82-59. Duke's mother Pitt 76-47. And Georgia stunned Kentucky 82-69. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City!
Three steps. Throwing. Lob. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown!
Play action. Love. Looking. Winds up. There Rainbows. Is. Watson there. Touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambo leap.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We're going to sprinkle it in because we're getting close to more playoff action. Gosh, from college and then the first of the NFL playoff games. Glad to have you with us on a hump show, middle show of the work week. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, since he got there, they've had some playoff successes, but they've been unable to get to the Super Bowl. You don't have to tell Lamar about what's on the line. He's always told us he wants to be a billionaire and to be a champion. And here's another opportunity.
You know it's at stake. You know it's when to go home. Man, it's a team we're very familiar with. Great team at that. When to go home, we just locked in, dialed in.
Obviously, a lot is made of his playoff record and the fact that even with all of his success, the two MVPs, they've not been able to get to the Super Bowl. Of course, last year, they were able to beat the Texans, right? So that was their first game in the divisional round. They had the bye. They were the top seed. And then they lost to the Chiefs in Baltimore in the conference championship. Before that, they lost to the Bengals in the wild card round. That was 22 in 20. They won a wild card game against the Titans, but then lost to the Bills. So they just run into teams that are better than them. At this point, they've got a lot of experience. They've got veterans. They've got a terrific offense. So does he consider, does he think about what went wrong in the past?
I was young in the beginning, like, and it happened fast, like. It don't happen fast, but, you know, the only one I do, to be honest with you, the only one I do think about is the AFC Championship. That's probably the only playoff game I do think about, like, it was right there. But I'm focused now, though. Like, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, the issue is not just how good you are, how you play in the postseason. It's also about the teams around you. Think about the number of other Western Conference teams in the NBA that might have had shots at titles had it not been for the Warriors and their dominance over what nearly 10 years, but over eight seasons. That's what it's been like for the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens, other teams in the AFC who have constantly run into the Kansas City Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Texans, they're back in a familiar spot, kicking off the NFL wildcard weekend. First game, CJ Stroud and the Texans hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, completely different Chargers team than a year ago. Whereas the Texans, I wouldn't call it a sophomore slump, just that their offense has not been quite as productive or prolific. And no one's looking at CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans now, and they're surprised by what the Texans have done. And believe it or not, the Texans are considered an upset favorite this weekend.
I really don't mind. I mean, it's part of it. You know, guys are smart. They probably can see film and see that, you know, whatever they want to see. So, and for us, we know we have faith in what we can do and know, you know, that we're motivated to play. I kind of like being an underdog. I've been an underdog a lot of my life and my career, so it's actually comfortable for me. So, but, yeah, I don't really think too much about it.
Momentum is definitely fleeting in sports, but as we were talking about with the Steelers and some of their issues, the lack of a consistent passing attack, they've had, it's not all on Russell Wilson or George Pickens, right? They've had drop passes. The turnovers have been an issue. You wonder sometimes about the protection with Russell Wilson on the line, but can they change that? After four consecutive losses, can they flip a switch and, hey, it's terrific. Now we're good. We're into the playoffs, so no worries now. We all understand we've got to play our best football. I think there's also some questions about the Texans, too, and the fact that they did not finish up the season playing some of their best ball, but also they lost to the Chiefs and the Ravens, two of the teams that are expected to contend in the AFC. So who cares if you're an underdog? Sometimes that means you get to fly below kind of the radar and people aren't paying as much attention to you. Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers back in the postseason in large part thanks to Jim Harbaugh, but they do have to win on the road because they're the team that will head to Houston.
It's just a good week of preparation and going out there and understand that we're just playing ball. And whether it's at home or whether it's away, it's about us. It's about the guys in the huddle in that locker room. So as long as we're able to do that, you know, we've been pretty good there.
Another great season for Herbert, but the numbers, the 23 touchdowns, maybe not as high as some of the other MVP candidates versus just three interceptions. He's been good this season, even though a lot of the, in fact, pretty much every weapon around him has changed. Nearly 3,900 yards, and I love the way that we've seen more of the Justin Herbert that we did his rookie season when he was kind of a, I mean, he just took over. Remember Tyrod Taylor got hurt and Justin Herbert had to take over on last second notice and just never gave that job back? Well, with Jim Harbaugh, he's really blossomed again, and we're kind of seeing that skill set with Justin and the offense, which is awesome. So those are your Saturday games, Ravens, Steelers, Texans, and Chargers. And then you've got the rest of the teams trying to answer quarterback questions like the Seattle Seahawks. They win 10 games. And because of that, Geno Smith ends up with a $2 million bonus after the season, plus some personal incentives, $6 million tacked on after what was a really successful year for him. So what does that mean for 2025, Mike McDonald?
The first thing always comes back for, like, for what's best for the team. I feel like Geno's the best for the team right now. And So I'll be involved with it. Ultimately, it's not my decision. It's a Seahawks decision. So, but Geno knows how we feel about him, and we love him as our starting quarterback for sure.
We'll have a lot of questions about quarterbacks and maybe a quarterback carousel once we get deeper into the offseason. Right now, it's more about coaching hires and general managers. But Geno Smith has found himself a new home. Maybe Sam Darnold has as well, though he's a free agent when the season is done, whenever the Vikings are done. A couple of college quarterbacks speaking out this week, getting ready for their national semifinals, like Riley Leonard of Notre Dame. Man, the immense pressure on Notre Dame all the time, and here they are in the Final Four.
We're treating this game like it is the national championship, and you know, we're putting all the marbles into this game and not focusing on any hypothetical outcomes, but it's definitely a cool feeling to be here.
I think the big deal for Riley Leonard is, can you make the Notre Dame passing attack a legit one? They're so good at running the ball. They're so good in defense. But if you take the running game away, can Riley Leonard make plays with his receivers and help Notre Dame to become more two-dimensional as opposed to so good at, they're so good at the run game, but what about a third and long situation? Can he pass the ball effectively? Quinn Ewers, kind of interesting for him as the Texas QB, maybe not for long, but the Texas QB right now, remember he used to play at Ohio State. He was there with CJ Stroud.
Learned a lot while I was there under, you know, Coach Day and CJ, and just that whole room was awesome to be around, and you know, super thankful for that time that I got to spend there. And like I said, I learned a whole lot. So I don't regret any decision I've made on going or anything like that.
I'm excited about these games. Looking forward to them. Kind of an hors d'oeuvre, if you will, a setup to the drama of the weekend in the NFL. So we'll talk, of course, about the Thursday night game and then do a little more preview for Friday on the final show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I want to wrap up just by mentioning what's happening in the Los Angeles area. If you've been paying any attention at all to the news or to social media, the videos and the photos of the Palisades fire and it's called the Eaton Fire, Malibu and Palisades areas just outside of L.A., downtown L.A. I mean, the vids and the photos that people are posting are terrifying. There's already 30,000 people that have been ordered to evacuate, and so many have lost homes or businesses impacted by these giant blazes. From the air at night, people are taking photos and videos from, you know, planes that are landing at LAX, and it's incredible to see that orange in the dark that's glowing. So a lot of first responders and firefighters that are putting themselves in danger to try to save others. So J.J. Redick was talking about how it's impacting him personally.
Just want to acknowledge and send thoughts and prayers to everyone in the Palisades right now. It's where I live, my family and my wife's family, my wife's twin sister. They've evacuated. I know that a lot of people are freaking out right now, including my family, and from the sound of things with the winds coming tonight, I know a lot of people are scared, so just want to acknowledge that, and thoughts and prayers for sure, and hope everybody stays safe.
I know many of us have friends that are in L.A. I've got a college friend who's just outside the evacuation area. She said about 10 miles away, but her daughter's school is in the evacuation area. They're without power. They can see the glow. They can smell the smoke at this point. They're staying put. Our friend Amy Trask, who is with us here on the show a lot, longtime CEO of the Raiders, part of the CBS analyst family. She loves the Malibu area. She's a big beach bum, and it's just heartbreaking to see what's happening. Most important, though, is that people stay safe. So thinking about those people impacted by these fires and praying for safety in that area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.